Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 to 20. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Here ends the reading. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Depending on your perspective, our reading from Deuteronomy for this week could sound like really good news or not so great news. Once again, the text declares, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity." That sums it up well. Life and prosperity, or death and adversity. That is what lay before God's chosen people as they wandered the desert and prepared to enter the promised land. That still seems to be the choice that lays before us today. The life and prosperity portion was the vision of the Lord working to provide for the Israelites while they lived in the promised land, walking faithfully with God and obeying all that God commanded them. In this vision, they would not worship Yahweh and Baal and Asherah and so on and so forth, but just Yahweh and Yahweh alone. They would not mix their worship practices, prayers, or sacrifices with any other gods, and as a result, God would provide for them richly and abundantly. They would be protected from their enemies and have enough to live richly in the land that they were being led to. On the other hand, the death and adversity side of things was a vision of the consequences when the relationship between God and the Israelites broke down. If the people did not walk faithfully with God, they would not be rewarded with the Lord's protection and abundance. Their lives would be full of death, ruin, and hardships. The land promised to them would turn from the land flowing with milk and honey into the land of sackcloth and ashes. Their lives would be entrusted to the false gods they worshipped, and those false gods would not be able to protect or provide for them, because they are not real. They would be on their own, and they would not fare well without their Creator. Once again, these four warnings of how things would turn out for the Israelites might sound really good or really bad, depending on your perspective. Once again, these four warnings of how things would turn out for the Israelites might sound really good or really bad for you here in church today. Since you have made the effort to come to church while the majority of people in our valley are sleeping in, playing golf, doing chores, or having fun out on the lake, you are part of the few who have devoted your morning to faithfully worship God in God's house. You are part of the crowd that prays regularly, reads the Bible, and lives lives that reflect a faithful relationship with God. If anyone is to be on God's good side, you guys have probably made the short list, right? On the other hand, you might hear these words and be fixated on the judgment that accompanies these instructions to the ancient Israelites. How do you know if your heart is turned fully toward the Lord? Sure, you may not be following other gods and religions, but maybe you think more about watching football on Sunday mornings than you are focused on the cross of Christ in our midst. Or, unfortunately, maybe you have been traumatized in the past by people telling you that they really know what it means to follow God, and then they go out of their way to tell you the hundreds of ways that you are not following God like you should, even though their lives seem just as hypocritical and flawed as everyone else's. Instead of hearing and being reassured of how God provides and protects in these texts, you might just hear how God condemns and judges, being fixated on the people who preach that this is all that God does. To those outside the church, these are the preachers that seem to grab the headlines, those who preach only about God's wrath and little about God's redemption. These texts come to us as good news, or maybe not so good news, depending on our perspective. These scripture passages, though, are not given for us to see who is good and who is bad, who is living the good life and who is worthy of our judgment. They're given to us to point out that following God really is an all or nothing sort of a thing. If we believe that God, the Lord of the Israelites and the author of our faith, truly does exist, then it is only natural that our faith would involve trusting God with our whole lives. If God exists, is the creator of the whole world and everyone in it, and continues to be the source of all life in the universe, then what other option is there than to devote our whole lives to the God who created our whole lives? I mean, sure, nobody is perfect, so nobody believes God or the Bible perfectly on our own, and everybody needs God's grace for these imperfections in our faith lives. But it is not hard to understand and to acknowledge that if God exists as the all-powerful creator, sustainer, and redeemer of the whole cosmos, then there really is nobody else to place our trust in than God. If we are to follow God, it is 100% proposition, or not. I'm sure that many parents do this, like to take note of certain traits in their children and see which ones come from them and which likely come from their spouses. My wife Jen and I certainly do this from time to time. Sometimes we make observations about obvious things like, "My child looks like me," or "You have your mother's eyes." Now, as our children are growing up a bit more, personality traits are popping up that are sometimes good and other times not so good. I've been inclined to think more than once, I'm afraid, "You are acting just like your mother." But of course, this only happens when my kids do the sweetest, most adorable thing ever. You are listening to this, aren't you, Jen? On the other hand, when they are infuriating, have a bad attitude, and refuse to listen, they are obviously their father's child. More than once, I know I have caught myself thinking, "You are your mother's child," instead of the truth. Our children are our children. They're not 50% one and 50% the others. They're 100% ours, together, all of the time. I will always be 100% their father, Jen 100% their mother, and they will always be 100% our children. The same is true with God. If God exists and is the author of all existence, then we are 100% God's children. There is no part of our being that was not formed by and is not cared for by our Creator. Though our lives are tainted by sin, our existence itself was made as a loving creation in the image of a loving God. By our very nature, we are 100% the Lord's with all of our being. There is no part of us that is not part of God's creative work. So it is only natural that if we believe that God exists, then we should place 100% of our trust in the Lord. Yet, along the way, we all end up hedging our bets, at least a little bit, and turn our hearts away from God to other things. The Israelites always worshipped Yahweh, at least as far as we know. But they added other gods to the worship list along the way. Sure, they trusted that God had created them and loved their ancestor Abraham, but they wanted a good harvest and thought that it was a safer bet to pray to Baal to make that happen. Similarly, most Americans report that they still believe in God, but many of them turn to other things to find fulfillment. Though most of us trust that God created us, we turn to movies, video games, sports, and alcohol for our enjoyment. Though we believe that God formed us, many of us trust the numbers on our paycheck to sustain us. And sadly, some people will do almost anything to make sure that these numbers stay high. Though we believe that God created the world around us, many of us fear that the world is only out to get us, and fail to see that God helps us through our neighbors and the natural world that sustains us all. Still, despite our failure to trust in the Lord above all other things, God is gracious and always calls us to see that there is no other source of our existence or of our redemption. Our Bible passages for this week call us to acknowledge the obvious. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Even if we cannot see it, we are all in. 100% of our existence is formed by the Lord, and we will always be all in. There is no part of us that is not God's, and we live well when we trust in the reality that we are indeed God's children, 100%. 4. After all, it is God who formed us, and it is God who will always make us whole, both in this life and the next. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.